Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And back for another week of the fifth and last NRL podcast, and joined by Boxhead. What's going on, buddy?
All right, mate.
I'm good. Bit of a different setup this week. We've gone the day early because I'm on nights, and you've obviously got the day free. Well, you didn't have the day free, but you were free tonight, so we're getting in early.
Yeah, we did medical and review today, so night off.
Good day yesterday again for the club. Obviously, like we talked about during the week, all three grades playing at home, the dedication to Dargs, and a very good day results wise and just all around.
Yeah, all I really cared about was getting the players to put in a good performance for Dargs. That was our primary focus, and yeah, it was a bit of a weird week, like, because you just want to make sure you're doing everything possible to ensure that it all, you know, all goes smoothly and you get a good performance. So yeah, it was just good to see the players really go on with it, I suppose. Yeah, and it was just good to have the Dargan family in the sheds and in their post game. And yeah, it's a horrible thing that's happened to them. So if we can bring a small bit of joy and pay respect to them, which is, you know, I thought we did a pretty good job of that. Not only cup, but NRL as well. And Jersey Flag had a pretty good victory as well. So, yeah, it's another good week for the club. And, yeah, over to, well, NRL are over to New Zealand, and we'll play the Warriors here on Saturday. I'm not sure the logic in the draw, but it is what it is.
Yep, good luck trying to figure out logic with a lot of things to do with the draw and in rugby league in general at some times. But I think, like you said, really good day. As someone who watched the TV coverage of the two games, it was good to see. I think everyone certainly did exactly what you said, got that effort, had that resolve. And, you know, on your side in particular, that first half, very early, like control, possession, didn't bank points, but they just stayed patient. They were relentless. And it really, really paid off at the back end, sort of.
Yeah, like my job isn't to win games by 50. Like, no. My job is to get players ready to play first grade. So, you know, there's going to be games there where, you know, if we win by 50 like we did yesterday, that's great. But, you know, my primary focus is on how do I produce first graders. So, yeah, that's the primary, I guess, overriding factor when you're making decisions and you're making selections and you're coaching. You're not always coaching to win, apart from on game day. Obviously, on game day, you're trying to win, and then during the week, you're coaching to not only prepare the NRL, because we do a lot of opposed with the NRL, and then the other side of it is trying to teach and coach those players. So, you know, if they're on the selection table and they need to play first grade, they're ready. So. Look, it's been great to get two results, no doubt about it. And it's good for a lot of those young players' confidence. But, you know, we're going to get a pretty good litmus test on where we're at in the next month. We run into New Zealand and then go up to Newtown, and then we run into Para. So it's, tough 3 weeks. We've got ahead of us.
Well, good test. Like you said, young side. Looking good so far. Like you said, the main priority, you guys like your Chevys and whatnot, pushing, playing good football, trying to show that they're first grade ready and putting pressure on it. I'd say so far, so good. So fingers crossed that continues. But let's jump in and review round two of the NRL, brought to you by the Penrith Solar Centre. Jake and the team there, get on to Elon from Penrith. Don't be sidelined by rising power bills this season. Let Penrith Solar Centre help you tackle your rising electricity bills. 1800 20 29 30. Call that number today or visit penrithsolar.com.au. Kicked off Broncos South was hoping for a blockbuster. It turned out to be a bit of a toilet bowl, particularly the first half in the game in general. 30 errors, 15 penalties. It was not quite the standard I was hoping for. I think like the Broncos come away with a result, but again, I think it was more individual brilliance from a few players, in particular Reece Walsh, that were the difference. And for South, I think Demetrio summed most things up that they're their own worst enemy. Like the amount of errors and sloppy play and kicking balls into people, and just in general, like that one good period they had where they played direct, played straight, the 10 minutes after half time, they look good, but similar to the week before. You can't come in and out of games. You can't pick and choose your moments. You've got to play for 80 minutes in the NRL.
Yeah, their discipline just gave them no chance of winning that game. That's yeah, simple as that. And they're a talented team, no doubt about that. So, yeah, just shot themselves in the foot. And we've all
Yeah.
coached the team, right? Like if, yeah, well, look at the first 20 minutes of our second half yesterday. What we were basically doing what Souths were doing. You know? I think we completed like 1 from 7 or something like that. You know, whereas in the first half they play near perfect footy, so there's no rhyme or reason why it happens. I think, you know, it's concentration and you know, attention to detail in and around what you're trying to achieve as a team. So, yeah, I think only the people within those four walls know what the answer is, but externally it seems pretty simple, but might be a little bit more to it. But, you know, everyone's saying that Jack Whiten's going to be the savior. I don't think he's going to be the savior. I think he'll certainly help him. He'll certainly straighten him up, and you'll get a lot of run hard out of him, and he'll, you know, give him that spark and direct running. But I think collectively, it's just yeah, it's the discipline, the errors, and the penalties, isn't it? It just kills any team.
Oh, you can't go into half like they did with the amount they had and just across the game. And same deal. Like you can't put your foot down and apply your best football for only 10, 15 minutes. But probably the sadder part is out of both performances, they've led or they've been close in both games with only limited, you know, windows of showing what they can do. We know what they can do. I know referencing last year is never a good thing, but to lead the comp after 11 rounds, head the direction they did, and have patches, and then you've seen two flashes here against two good teams. The ability's there, but bringing it out for a longer period across 80 minutes is certainly a sore point. And like, there's a lot of talk about him playing halves. I don't see how you could go there with what I think is a real glaring weakness in the edges at the moment in the back line. Like, I still think you can utilize him in more ways if you have him in center than just sitting him out there. But I think the Kenner spot the last 2 weeks, particularly, has been attacked by both teams. So, I think naturally he definitely has to go there because they've got to tighten up that edge defensively. So, I mean, again, I'm not just defending him because I said a couple of years ago about what happened. I didn't think Gillies had the greatest of games, but you still can't put it all on the halfback. There's plenty of guys that are not doing their job. It's not just on the seven. And from what he's got around him, I think there's a lot more responsibility needs to go on the 1, 6, and 9 for the amount of experience, rep football, and whatnot they've played. But, plain and simple, I think he summed up, like I said, errors, discipline, all that sort of stuff. You just don't give yourself a chance. You really don't.
Yeah.
Brisbane, some question marks injury-wise, which is not good. Like Arrow was a question mark on the flip. It seems like now he might get away with a month or so of rehab. There was talk he was going to miss the whole season, which would have been a huge blow on the back of the Campbell Graham injury. But they're now saying that I think Payne Haas's knee injury, he might miss this week. Man was carrying a shoulder, Reynolds, that potential MCL. And there's one other player I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but there's three or four in doubt this week for the game against Penrith for the Broncos, which isn't a good thing. Yeah, for them, I think Walsh, the clear standout. Mariner also, there was a lot of talk this week about Oates,
It
Oates, not playing and traveling for cup and whatnot, but with the jobs that Arthur and Mariner's doing at the moment, I guess the best thing you can do is just bide his time. But Walsh, whether it was short pass, long pass, great numbers on the edges, speed across ground is amazing. He just creates numbers, and probably the underrated thing, not wouldn't say it's gone away, but it hasn't been needed as much. Saw it at the Warriors, his kicking game. He's got the ability to contribute, especially with a long kick. When Reynolds was a little bit hindered, so I really thought it was just a Reece Walsh show, if I'm being honest.
He was very, very good. Very good.
Walsh
Very
is,
talented player.
While it's a similar deal, probably won't be happy with the errors and the discipline. They certainly had their moments as well, but much happier, I guess, being 1-1 than being 0-2 heading into the Panthers, which is a very tough matchup. So moving on from that one, Sharks Dogs 25-6, 6-all at half time. It was really tight. I think the Dogs again, similar sort of deal. They showed a lot of fight, but that same area of the field, I think, is going to be a consistent theory. Consistent theme across here is just winning the middle, being able to maintain there, and whether it be field position, territory, and getting enough out of your middle to be in games, even if you do get the 50-50. But huge rap to Cronulla's back five. Like, it's certainly, I think, the strength of their team, that and their halves, but what they get from their backfield, what they generate in yardage, even on their shift plays, whatnot, the combination, particularly the first 2 weeks between Sifa and Mulitalo, has been really, really important. I think, Kennedy's run pass threat and his involvement again off the back of being injured at the back end of last year. That and having Trindle in there so far, I think, certainly taken a bit of pressure off Hines in terms of what he needs to do running the team.
Yeah, absolutely. They're gritting away, aren't they? So they look a really, really tough out at the moment. And I thought Canterbury did a good job. They went punch for punch with them there for a fair while, but outclassed and outgritted in the end. But I think there is some good signs from the Dogs. Like, I know they're 0-2, but they've competed and gone hard in both games.
Yeah, certainly agree there. I think, better day for a lot of guys that didn't have the greatest day last week. Thought Taff was certainly more involved. Kikau was pretty quiet last week. I thought he had some good moments. Burton, you want to see him run the football. He ran the football. And I think Curran, of all the boys they got, I think one of the most underrated ones is Josh Curran. His work, what he gets through, I think he's a pretty quality player. But yeah, I know I said it last week and I said it in the preview. I really find it hard. Just this year is going to be a real learn for guys like Sam Hughes and whatnot. And I know Pouassa, terrible start for him. Literally, first play of the game, gets knocked out and he's out of the game. But I think that's certainly the main area, like you said, that really stood out. You can have players in the edges, you can have players in the halves, whatnot. They've got some really good quality backup, I guess, in some of those positions. But winning against your Parramattas, your Penriths, your Brisbans, your Storms, Souths, even like Cronulla's, I think probably one of the mid sort of tier packs. I don't think they'd be on the borderline of like a mid tier pack, a workman like pack. But if you can't win the middle of the field, I think there's a lot of challenges. And they obviously need help out of their backfield, which they get at times. Wilson tries hard. Fox, obviously, generally when he is there, tries hard. Carraz, etc. Big Critter probably been a little bit quiet for his first two games, and there's already talk about moving him to fullback to get him more involved. I don't think he can. I think he's too important defensively at the moment for what they've got. But I guess, Ciro afterwards sort of felt like they got missed on a couple of calls, like the Nicaro one. I think some people thought it was a send-off. I don't know. When I saw it on replay, I think there's been one similar than that, where a bin, they weren't happy with the kick out moment with the referee, but that's the rule. I know you probably would have scored up against Braden Trindle. I'd back him in 10 times out of 10, but that's the way the rule's written. But overall, I think the biggest thing that came out of this game for me is Fitzgibbon went there with the mantra of defense and being known for more being a defensive coach, and they've been more an attacking team the last 2 years. I think these first two games are the first time I really start to think that Craig Fitzgibbon's influence or what he wants is rubbing off on this team.
Yeah, he's also had minimal roster change. I really like that about them coming into the year. Just fluency, and they've made the finals the last two seasons. So, yeah, I like them.
Yeah, good win. Finucane's 250th across the few clubs he's been at. He's been a hell of a player. Obviously, a couple of injuries and minutes and sort of things change for him now, but a couple more years left to go to the Sharks. There's real potential if he could stay on the field the next couple of years of getting close to 300, but certainly been a hell of a player in the NRL.
Absolutely.
But Sharks march on again, another gritty performance in similar fashion, get it done in that sort of back 20, but in a different way this time. Dogs, like I said, I know some frustration, but just got to keep plugging away.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's the biggest thing, that resilience and just building across the year and getting back into the market again and trying to address those areas over time, what they're doing. So we move on to the Battle of the West, the Panthers and the Eels, 26-18. The Panthers win this one. What a great game of football this was. It was honestly punch for punch to start with. It was a belter. Pretty uncharacteristic to see Lussick score against Penrith the way he did. That sort of surprised me, but the instant response didn't. They sort of traded back and forth in that first half. The points, it was a lot looser than I probably expected. It's absolutely beautiful seeing big Mossesi cut back across the field and throwing a goose, a bit of a sidestep. He's never used one in his life. Scored a belter of a try. Lane and Dylan Brown, that combination back together, certainly dangerous again. And I thought Dylan Brown had a big impact on this game. But I think the real big factor in the end of this was the two injuries throughout the game. Like Simonsen getting KO'd in the 4th minute by Luai is a big thing. It's always hard to cover for a winger. Generally, if you reshuffle an edge, that's one thing. But then to lose Kelmer early second half and have to do a double reshuffle, it certainly opened things up for Panthers in particular to attack that right side with Tungo and Taruva.
Yeah, I was shocked just to see Penrith do some of those fundamental things not so well. But you've also got to remember they haven't had as long of a preseason and they're still working their way into the year. They gave up a couple of inside shoulders, that try that you spoke about. Thought like Parramatta, they did a really good job. Like they didn't have much trouble scoring, but geez, they conceded fairly easily. So yeah, they're just one of those teams at the moment where they're really strong offensively, but they're just probably leaking more points than what they can against those better teams if they're going to expect to win.
Well, that reshuffle.
They certainly added to the spectacle. I thought they were good.
Yeah, that reshuffle certainly does hurt, though. Like I said, it's one thing to cover for one outside back, but to have to cover for two spots there is certainly not an easy task. You end up with bigger bodies out wide, which they did at the back end of the game, and Penrith particularly took advantage of it on that right side, made things real hard for Harper, who saw that extra traffic and off the back foot there was plenty of ball getting
Yeah,
zinged.
he's not a winger.
No, but that's what I'm
They
saying. But
haven't coached him all last year. Yeah, like he's very, very comfortable in the centres, but as a winger, yeah, he's there's a lot more to the wing than there is centre. Like people think it's just a simple flip, and for some people it is because they've got experience playing both positions. But yeah, when you're talking about firstly just the work rate, being in that backfield and having to return the footy, but also then being on the end of the line trying to make decisions in relation to what your centre's doing, and then when you've got a back row at centre, their decisions probably aren't as fluent as what a normal centre would be. So you're right, yeah, it would have had an impact.
Yeah, it ended up happening on both edges, which Penrith certainly took advantage. It was 18-16 half time. Second half, they get a double. It was both on that same side of the field where they found a lot of that love. But I think for Parra and Brad Arthur, I take away a lot of positives because, that early one in particular, 4 minutes in, really hurts. But for an extended period of the game, they have to cover up on both edges. I think guys like Paulo, Hopgood had a really good game. Dylan Brown's touches, which we sort of expected. He showed some real class a couple of times, long and short, and with his running game. Some good footy by him. But yeah, I think the thing that reared its head again, injuries in game hurt, but they were already short on outside backs, which was sort of the worry coming into the season. Can't really afford with Sivo out. If Simonson's got to miss a week, I know
When's
they are.
Sivo back this week?
He got 4 weeks, I think.
Oh,
Pretty sure it was. So, like, when they upgraded Blaze Talungi, there's talk already around now that they were obviously in for Lomax, and they're talking to multiple teams about trying to get an outside back if possible. They'll link to another Dragons kid the other day who only just signed, I think, a 19-year-old, Sivelia Tamale. So they're certainly hot out there trying to find some outside backs.
well, there you go.
But yeah, I think in terms of what you saw from, especially Dill and some of those forwards and what they threw up against Penrith before that sort of reshuffle, there's some really good signs there if that's what they're going to do this year. For the Panthers, like I said this last week to a lot of people that freaked out, they started 4-4 last year and went on to win the comp. So there's no surprise what they've done the last few years. Some were still disappointed or questioning what was going on. I think you need to pump the brakes. If they're 10 weeks in, heading into Origin and they're 50-50 or above 50-50, I still wouldn't be worried. If they're coming out of Origin and they're, struggling and they're a 50-50 record and they have injuries, it's a different story.
They're going to be
They've won three premierships in a row for a reason.
premiership.
So I think the biggest thing for them, and I haven't read anything yet, was the Fisher-Harris injury.
He looked a bit ginger to start.
Yeah, well, I think he'd
He
sort
was
of hurt.
downhill from Campbell Gillard, I think, when he was in D and yeah.
I think he was already carrying it, and then that one certainly took it over the
Yeah,
top.
that's exactly what I felt
So for them, and this is what we talked about again, that preview, with losing more and more depth as you go. They've already got a young bench now, particularly relying on Henry and Lindsay Smith, and they weren't giving many minutes to Eisenhuth the week before they got back Kenny and Sorensen. But yeah, to lose somebody like him, like, you know, come the big time of the year when the pressure mounts, they're going to want big minutes from him, Moses, Martin to play 80, Yoda to play 80. Like, they're really going to lean into the guys they've got there. Any injury, especially I think that middle, will be critical. But overall, found a result at home against a rival. Edwards, good as always, very busy. Tungo had a big night, especially once things change on that edge. Tyler just gets through so much work unnoticed. And I thought, yeah, Leota particularly stepped up once Fish was gone. And Yo, as usual, just gets through a heap of work unnoticed. But for Parra, some good signs to take away. And big match this week up against Manly.
Yeah, it'd be huge.
So that one into Panthers Broncos are some cracker matchups the first few weeks. The draw has certainly been set to pop off for the start of the year, but we move on again. The Raiders Tigers 32-12. Like we said, big day for the club, special occasion, and delivered across all three grades. But I think NRL again, pretty much similar to last week is what I thought. 90% completion, clinical for the majority of the game. Like it got a little bit off the rails there. Once Bateman started to get a bit personal, and you had Hudson after the strange tackle on that, and some of those guys getting a bit narky and head to head. And there's obviously that little period in the first half when it was 14-0 where they let the try and a couple of penalties in the back to back when Arpy got downfield. But from there onwards, pretty much controlled the second half again. There was some good football, but high completion, high discipline. Defend well. I thought the forward pack as a whole, again, led by Tarpany once more, was very good.
Yeah, it was again a mature performance, you know. It's early season football, trying to complete high, keep your discipline good, tackle well, and then keep things fairly simple offensively. It's working for us at the moment.
Some nice moments for a couple of guys again in what is going to be a developing spine. Like was spoken about, Levi grabs another try, and you know, service and his work around the ruck. I think Strange will definitely take some confidence. Nice to see him run the ball a few more times and grab that try. Why I don't want to take away from it. I think that defense, you're not going to see that when you play Melbourne or the Tigers or sorry, Melbourne or the Panthers or someone sort of holding off a bit there. But when you're a 19-year-old kid playing first grade, those sort of moments are huge for your confidence, as
Yeah,
well as
and
the
it's
try
also at the
scoring.
moment we're not like again, we're not coaching for the opposition. You're coaching to develop the player. So yeah,
Exactly. And the try
doesn't
saver he had was a belter.
matter. Like we're encouraging him to, you know, if there's space to run, if there's not, you know, how to look for a pass, how to generate a pass. Like it's all that learning that you do, you know, in first grade and prior to getting to first grade. He's played a lot of cup footy. He played a lot of cup footy last year. So.
Hosking,
And like
impressive.
I was quoted a few times saying that, you know, like it's they're young kids, they're gonna have some time in and out of first grade, you know, like just that's what happens when they're young. You
Yeah,
just
well,
tip them in and tip them out and just see how they go. Like for Ethan's sake, like he looks very comfortable at the moment, which
definitely.
is, you know, a great thing for the club. So
I think physically he's also of the right size. Like I looked at Galvin yesterday, I thought he was one of their best, if not their best, in terms of effort and control. The fact that he was basically the primary blew me away, which was disappointing to see with. You know, the other half there, Sullivan, who's had a couple of years now and a couple other guys, but to look at the build of the kid for the confidence. And then, like you said, I think Strange, despite his age, certainly physically, is up to first grade. But yeah, Tarpa,
he's
Hudson,
just got an excellent temperament. Like he's a great, good human. So,
Hosking, really, really good again, filling in on that edge. Why Elliott's out. Yeah, I just think, especially pack-led effort and then. Nice to have Chris back in, but unfortunately HIA, so he's going to miss next week. Had a nice moment off the tap there, catching Sullivan out, and Timoko is just, he's a beast. I know he didn't end up getting over the stripe, but there's multiple times there where he just absolutely shredded that edge.
Yeah, he's very, very, very talented centers.
But Tigers side of things, I thought your two standouts were the two kids, like to come in as basically a kid and be the primary ball handler and just play the way he did. I thought Galvin had a really, really good day considering what he was
On, mate.
wearing.
Yeah, like watching from the box, I for a kid on debut, like he was very good. He had some really, really nice touches. Physically, he was challenged. Like he got whacked a few times, got up, got on with it.
Smiled, had a laugh.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about him, and I thought he handled himself and acquitted himself very well.
I think Buller was good again. You can see
Yeah,
again that the
he's
potential
very classy.
is, yeah, the touches between those two when they linked up a few times. I thought, well, there's a positive look for your future if you can obviously keep that under control.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the one that really disappointed me was Sullivan. Like, he wanted more opportunity when he was at the Dragons. He's got first crack in the halves. He had a few down moments. Like, Galvin was running the team and he ended up getting hooked at seam for Caesar, who came on and
Well,
he.
I don't know whether it was hooked. I think it was just a plan to flip him on, and when I think you just didn't know when that was actually going to happen. I think it was always a plan. Otherwise, you wouldn't carry Caesar on the bench.
Well, he said pre-game he wanted Caesar to cover nine, potentially halves, and he might even throw him on as a 13. So I don't know. I guess we'll see this week if he names Sullivan again or if he moves on to Caesar.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I think
Wouldn't be playing
overall,
Caesar at lock.
what's that, sorry?
Well, I think he'd be playing Caesar at lock.
No, not starting, but I think off his bench role, he
No,
thought,
ever.
yeah. Well, just going off what was thrown out there pre, but yeah, hard day for Atapa as well. Like, you debut most of it off the back foot, but always a great occasion regardless when you debut in first grade. And in the end, I think the frustration and things boiling over a bit for them was summed up with you, Tucumano, getting sent to the bin.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I know Tigers fans were eagerly awaiting their first game and not the greatest of starts, but there's a few good kids there to obviously lean on. Hopefully, long term, they're the future and they can build off them. But yeah, 13 penalties.
Look, even Carper thought, Mason, Lualii, and De Silva were probably their three best players, and they're all,
Yeah.
18, 19-year-olds, so.
Well, two of them
There's
couldn't play.
certainly some excellent and talented young players coming through the Tiger system, that's for sure.
It's what we've spoken about many times before. It's just getting them to that finish line and turning them into first graders and long term.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd be interested to see. I think off that performance, Galvin certainly plays next week, but similar deal to what you've talked about, how long will they sort of keep him in for? Because 18-year-old, his physical build at the moment, he's certainly not the finished product. That's going to be 3 or 4 years away. Like, he's not even a man yet. But
Yeah.
I think just interested to see with the way they're going, if they have some tough games and physically how long they sort of have him there before he either needs a spell or drops back down.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
But very positive start and two from two. Tigers go home to Leichhardt next week to play the Sharks, which certainly won't be easy. And Raiders, as you said, you've got a split. You're staying in Canberra to play the Warriors, but first grade heading over to Christchurch to play the Warriors Friday night, 0-2 off two tough losses.
Yeah. I mean, the Warriors are a very good team. Very
Definitely.
good team. So we'll talk about them shortly.
Cowboys Knights, one of the maddest games of the weekend in terms of result from what I watched.
You'll have to talk me through it because I was obviously at the game. I didn't see this one, so.
Well, in the first half, the Cowboys could not have done more to try and offer Newcastle 20 or 30 points.
Yeah, okay.
Combined penalties and errors was close to 20 alone by them in the first half. They just gave the football away, dropped the football, got penalised. Val Holmes potentially had one of the worst games of his career. He had five drops. He missed a couple of goals that is usually just cake work for him.
Yeah.
But they couldn't have given Newcastle any more opportunity. But every time Newcastle looked like they were going to score, they made an error. The ball got intercepted. Like, to get in at 12-0, they did well. Elliot
Yeah.
crashed over twice. And the second one pretty much summed up how things were going. Hetherington threw a delayed pass from dummy half for him to crash in. It was the last thing I was expecting to see if we had try scorer bingo is Hetherington delaying a short ball to crash in Adam Elliott. But yeah, 12 zip at half time. I thought they did well to even be in that position. The kinks in the Newcastle attack sort of continued from last week, but second half, the Cowboys come out, literally score first set, score a couple of minutes later, and then it just felt like they were coming for the whole half. They had opportunities again. They had a couple of no tries. Val was involved in one of those. There was a couple of moments where you just sort of thought, oh, maybe it's just not going to be their day. Surely, with the amount of errors, it's not going to be their day, but it was really summed up in the last moments. It was 20 apiece after Nenai scored with about three to go. Tommy did and has an absolute brain fart. Looks like he's going to kick on halfway, then sort of half hesitates like he's going to run. He ends up like barely getting off his foot, and they hand it to Newcastle with like a minute to go, literally on halfway. You think they're going to go kick a field goal here?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And Reece Robson comes up with an absolute pearl of a one-on-one steal to make sure it at least gets the golden point. And luckily for them, in golden point, they rolled downfield. Tommy did and ran a short side and busted things open and was sort of worried because they ended up 10 metres out, sort of on the tram what they were going to do. But Chad Townsend, cool and collected, sort of drifted across field and did enough to slot it. So I have no idea how they won. I really don't, but compared to
But
last
they
year,
did.
that's one of those ones last year they lose.
Yeah.
So I honestly don't think they could have played any worse, and they won. That's about all I can say.
Yeah.
And Todd Payton in the box, you could see for them, probably after watching that it was an absolute bloody nightmare. But to win, that's one of those ones you look at and go, I don't care. Like, how we got away with that one, we'll take it. Newcastle, on the other hand, the question marks, I think, are really going to come this week after the way their attack worked with the halves, which was the big thing when Cogger got bought there. Between Gamble and Hastings, I think with Cogger there, someone's got to move to either 14 role or out of the side, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The whole sort of shape, similar to last week, too predictable, too KP heavy. His impact was pretty limited. He cut back in field a lot. They did a pretty good job holding their line. They didn't break. They let him come to them. Yeah, it was pretty frustrating, but there was a few guys that really stood out. Like Dane Gagai, it's probably the angriest I've ever seen him. He had a hell of a day throwing people over the place. Elliott had a big day. Frizzell, Leo, like a few of their forwards were pretty good, but in terms of things clicking in their attack, so far just hasn't happened. And realistically, it's probably two results. You know that they. I'm not saying they would have been banking them, but this one in particular, I definitely don't think they should have let slip. They had a lot of chances last week. They were frustrated with the way they attacked, but maybe, you know, he just needs to make that hard curl early. They brought Cogger there for a reason. If I'm being completely honest, out of the three options, if I was going to pick a pair, I'd have Cogger and Hastings.
Yeah.
That's no knock on Gamble. I just think Gamble was probably better suited to being that 14. He's a big body. I think he'd fill in on an edge if you need him to. He can cover halves. He can play lock. I just sort of think for where they are right now, that's probably his best spot.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Again, I didn't see the game, so.
no, it was just yeah. I think their attack was frustrating. They both made a lot of errors, but the Cowboys' first half, like they missed touch twice, for Christ's sake. It was you couldn't have imagined a worse half. To get in at 12-0, they would have been happy with that.
I just heard the result. That was all.
So one of those ones where you look at it afterwards and go, if you do all this stuff and have somebody like Val Holmes who's usually clutch with his goal kicking and you know drops five footies, you've just certainly got away with one.
Yeah.
Tommy did and relentless despite a few errors, like his running game, his determination, he was really, really good. I thought Kutakefu, second half, Nenai, like Robson's one-on-one and just the amount of defence he got through. There was a few guys that certainly contributed to that result for them. Big question mark, I think, now is Ilian Lukic. Didn't finish the game and he's off a big injury. I think they said ankle or lower leg. Kulikafu, obviously, a hell of a fill in, but to let Lucci go, I didn't have a problem with salary cap wise for the situation they're in. But if you lose two back rows in 2 weeks, that's certainly not good.
No, that's not.
And, in terms of bench depth, everyone blew their gasket last week about Taumalolo, but the details are out now. That's similar to Tedesco and a few other guys. He's obviously dealing with some cartilage degeneration. So where possible, they're not going to overtrain him or blow his minutes out. They had to give 50-something minutes to him in this game. But yeah, you're starting to talk about the benefit of when they've got everyone. You can play Kulikefu as a middle or an edge. You can play Lukey that way. Like they could sort of shuffle blokes through if they want to. But you lose a couple of guys there and start to have to ask more from your bench. You're going to lean into more of those guys for more minutes.
Yeah.
And it's also big for a kid who, I know he came into first grade last year, but to ask him potentially if Lukey got long term to suddenly go into playing 80 minutes in first grade every week. I know Nenai did it and played for Australia, but that's not the result every single time for every player that comes into first grade.
No.
I think he looks like a hell of a talent, but I can't say he's going to have, 20 games and be as consistent as a Nenai. I'd like to think so. There's a lot of talk at the market. But a lot of people interested, in particular the Dolphins, in offering him pretty much a starting spot for next season. But yeah, I think if you're Todd Payton, you got your fingers, toes, and everything crossed that Lukey's not long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
They move on, as do Newcastle. And for Newcastle, it gets tough. They got Melbourne rolling in next week. So, on the plus, though, and I was very surprised about this, Jerome Hughes is facing a one-game suspension for touching the ref.
Interesting. Yeah, you reckon they'll challenge it? It's going to be hard to get off.
Well, if they hit you with a grade two contrary conduct, I don't like your chances, but I thought it was a crock of shit.
I didn't, sir.
Butler sort of goes in between where Hughes was almost like in a fullback-like spot. The attacker's coming through and he sort of changes his line and ends up behind Butler. And then when he tries to go again and the player's near him, he sort of pushes off Butler like to get out of the way. So he does push him on the ground, but I didn't think it was, something where you're like, well, you're not supposed to touch the referee, but at the same time, if he ends up in between you and the line and you're playing a bit of chicken and the goose chase with somebody trying to score, get out of the way. So interesting, but yeah, they've said grade two contrary conduct for a first offence. So it's automatically a week. It's 2 weeks if he fights it.
Yuck.
But big thing for them is the talk was they wanted Munster to have the extra week into the bye, but now you're missing potentially both your halves. It'll put them in a situation where do they risk it or do they play Pezzet and then potentially bring somebody else in and up. I don't know how you'd quite work it, but in my head, the only way I could really see it happening is sort of naming Sewer at six and having him and Papp sort of rotate between back and front line, sort of as running and ball playing options. Keegan Russell-Smith is not even part of the top squad. I don't even know if he's development, but they don't really have an extra half option.
Interesting.
But moving on from Cowes, Newcastle into Storm at that interesting point. I can't believe they won this game.
Yeah, it's one of the best tries I've ever seen.
Insanity.
Best put downs I've ever seen. It is the best put down I've ever seen.
I think that whole play, if you watch it back, everyone did their job to perfection. The shift, Papp goes early to Remus to let him sort of get that outside. I think he holds it for the perfect amount of time to give Coates the chance to get airborne and get that one-on-one. Like everybody down to, the umpteenth did their job, but with 5 or so minutes to go, I couldn't have predicted that because they were probably dominant for the first 15, 20, and then you felt like the Warriors had the best of maybe the back end of the first half. They still led 18 to 16, but for the 30 minutes of the second half, it felt like the Warriors were just absolutely pummeling them through the middle, a bit like they did the Sharks. They were relentless. Melbourne were on the back foot. They couldn't get out of their own end. They really ramped up on them. They were getting trapped. They were kicking. They made a couple of errors coming out, and it really felt like between Fenua Blake, Harris, and Barnett again, the job they were doing, as well as how they got Roger involved, Rocco Berry, just like to think of his age and how much better he's going to be again in a couple of years. Their outside backs, they were doing a number on Melbourne. They really were. thought, this is a great bounce back, and it all just flipped in that moment. Melbourne finally got a penalty out of yardage. They run that inside outside play that they ran earlier in the game, but they flipped the edges. The timing of that play and the way Pappenhausen just hides and comes ripping through at the last minute. They got him twice with it. And then Pezzett realistically sets it up. The fact he tried to backstep to get into 2-point field goal range, that deflection leads to the extra set of six. And even then, wasn't really confident from the field position where they're at, but that made it happen. And Xavier Coates, my lord, that's going to be on highlight reels for years to come.
Yeah, it will be. That's right.
But honestly, again, yeah, a bit like last week, I'm sitting here scratching my head if I'm the Warriors going, I can't believe we're 0-2. I really can't. But I also come out of those two games despite that, and I think Webby's nature is absolutely outstanding, thinking I still think we're a really good team.
Well, so do I. Just because you're 0-2 doesn't mean you're a bad team. They've been in both games. They've competed really hard. Could have easily won both. So.
And I think, again, I know you can't predicate injury and troops, but that's minus Egan again, which I thought was a big loss. And they looked, still very, very good without him.
Yeah.
Still going to get Morata back, still going to get Chance back. Like, there's a few more bodies to strengthen that team. But, mate, that forward pack, you have those players, especially that middle trio I spoke about, doing their job every week. If they're on the field, they're in every single game.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that was certainly clearer this week, they're a bit sloppy with their shape last week and their shifts. I think they did a real number on Melbourne. They got them a few times. So, Egan, he said afterwards, they're not sure if he seems to be a week to week, but potentially sounded like he was saying he's maybe 2 to 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
But I think, again, for you guys next week, I certainly think you're going to have your hands full, not because you're not up to the challenge, but I think the Warriors will be absolutely seething off 0-2 heading back home.
Yeah. Well, it's going to
Huge
be.
test
It's
for
always difficult to go over there, full stop.
yeah.
We're pretty happy with the way we're playing as well. So,
Yeah, definitely.
we'll go over there with a plan and some confidence.
I think the other thing about the Warriors after the game, the huddle, the talk, like they all seem to really be, still switched on, not broken, and like buying into what Johnson
Why
was
would they be broken?
saying. No, you know what I mean? Like years prior, the
Yeah.
resilience we saw last year, but I think this group, much like we'd hoped for this year, they're not going to go down.
Yeah.
But, and credit again to them. I thought they were great. But Melbourne, how you pull that one from the fire? Jerome Hughes, and I think despite the suspension, Bellamy summed it up. The way he started the game and the try saver he had early in the game is a huge reason they were still in the game.
Yeah, like in every team they've played are undefeated. And they're now going to go up against another undefeated team. So it's not like they played mugs.
But Hughes, great, awesome night for Pappenhausen. Very effective. Has the offload for the first try that got Hughes free. Pops up on those two shapes. He had four or five offloads. Good to see that confidence coming back. And again, I've said it before in the preview, said it last week. If he can get 6 to 8 weeks of football together, I'd love to see where he's at the midway point.
Yeah.
He's just going to keep getting better. But between him, Hughes's like early running game, and then that try saver, which was a hugely underrated part of the performance. Thought Coates' finish was great, but the other one has really impressed me. And I said similar that I thought middle was a better spot for him. Liero, the first 2 weeks, has been really good for Melbourne.
He has been good.
So that seems like a real positive move for them. Chin had some moments again. Still think he's got a lot to learn, but they're sticking with him for now. I'm interested to see across the year, how long that lasts, or whether with Bloor learning a bit more about the system and getting some minutes in cut, I think that job may be one that might change over time. But Chan attack certainly looks good. But, defensively, learning in first grade.
Yep.
But yeah, for the Warriors, pack was great. Sheck, Dalen Rocco, all those guys in the back of it. But huge week this week coming up against the Raiders. But we move on to two games today. Manly 21-14 over the Roosters. Honestly, how this was 21-14 blew my mind. I thought Manly were very aggressive, very dominant. The territory, the possession, the field position, they had oodles of ball and opportunity. So for the Roosters, despite the fact I think it was 19 errors, 13 penalties to six. They got blown away in just about every single category. The one thing I will give, and said it last week to see back, the Roosters' goal line defense evolved is certainly there.
Yeah, it is. They just really didn't give themselves a chance today. The Roosters, I think, 40% possession, errors and penalties. But man, they were super impressive. They look powerful. They look strong. Full house at Brookie Sunday Arvo, tough place to go. And that's 2 years in a row. They've beaten Manly at sorry, Manly have beaten the Roosters at home. So yeah, it's. They're a tough team. Like when they're getting 60% of the footy, they're fast, they're physical, they're strong. They, work you from sideline to sideline. Turbo Brooks, DCE, Croker, very good spine. And they catch pass so well, and they've got so many weapons on the outside. Offensively, they're going to be right up there with some of the best attack we've seen in the comp so far.
And that was certainly the case. The shifting out of yardage as well. They got Roosters' first set there and Collar got clear and they did a good job to cover it. But yeah, certainly not afraid to play some footy. But first 2 weeks, shift for a shift, they're playing a lot with their centres. They absolutely pummeled Kiri with Olakau'atu, as you'd expect. They'll get three and four in. But yeah, for as much as the Roosters hurt themselves, that one side of things, I will give them a rap for. They could have folded up shop and looked like they were gassed on the back foot multiple times, but plenty of other teams would have copped five or six tries. They just refused to lay down. But I think
Yeah,
we'll
they're extremely tough to keep themselves in that game.
think probably the only moment of controversy which blew my mind, because they've been blowing all of them, was the first try. Pretty much now, if you jump in a contest or even knock someone, it's instantly a no try. Tedesco went up for a ball and Tommy sort of come through, didn't jump for it, just sort of turned around, and it wasn't the biggest bump, but they've blown every other one. They watched it 100 times on replay, and then they confirmed it. So, not saying that changes the result, but yeah, I think when I watched it, I thought, okay, we've been saying they were going to be black and white on things like that, or Frizzell last week, or the Penrith one, and week two, there's already been one that I looked at and thought, well, that's not what the rule is. I think a few people might have been surprised, but yeah, they look great. Paseka, huge day for him as well. If they all stay healthy, and speaking of health, real worried moment when Manu and Tommy went up for a ball and they sort of landed on each other, but his leg and ankle went under right there. I thought, oh nah, that didn't look good. But luckily for Tom, he's walked under enough ladders. He come out of that one unscathed, I think. But yeah, some real positive signs, in particular after 2 weeks of watching Brooks play in a side. With quality players around, in particular in the spine, certainly seems to have supercharged their attack. But yeah, Chookies back to the drawing board. Next week could be Suspension City. Jared Warrior's 300th NRL game, and it's against South.
Yeah, well,
That's fraught with danger, fraught with excitement, but also fraught with danger. Our man Jared. Oh yes.
yeah, I'm gonna be one to circle and one to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, so I don't care how either of them are doing. It's a bit like we say about some teams when they come head to every year. When South and the Roosters play, especially the last few years, you got to watch that. With the fact that his suspensions have sort of made it land on this game of all games is absolutely outstanding. Really looking forward to that one next week. 1-1. Certainly, yeah, if you clean up 20 error penalties, like combined total, like if you're talking negative players, they had 32. That's not the recipe for winning football games.
Not no.
But Luke Keary was the main concern. I think they got out of it mostly unscathed, but a late knee there, sort of innocuous, going for a footy, jump down low at Teddy's, sorry, Turbo's legs, might lead to a change there in the halves.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't
So that'll be interesting to watch what they do next week. But yeah, full credit to Manly. Two good wins to start the year. Looking very, very positive on that side of things. And like I said, probably the biggest moment was that Turbo moment. A lot of people held their breath, but it looks like he came out unscathed. So positive signs to start for Manly as they move on to play arch rivals Parramatta next week. Bit of the 80s flavour coming back.
be good, yeah.
But the last one to wrap it up, and to be honest, I sort of just stopped watching while I was cooking dinner and cleaning up at the end. The Dolphins and the Dragons, off the effort and resilience that was shown last week from the Dragons, particularly the first half when they made nine errors and defended their line, it was a completely different team week to week. They got dusted 38-0 by the Dolphins, who a couple of the changes I agreed with. I thought Katoa coming back in after getting a full year last year would have been the case, but like Aitken was good in coming in. Plath at lock did a really, really good job, and they had a couple of early HIAs as well, which introduced Donoghue and Avarillo coming on the other edge. Herbie really led from the front, and it was a Wayne Bennett special. They looked like absolute bastards last week. He makes a couple of changes and clearly lit a fire on them this week, and they just come out and actually punch them in the face.
Yeah, strange, strange one. Hard to work that one out. Go from getting, what, 50 put on you the week before into winning by 38 blot. A few changes, yeah. First game back up at KO Stadium. Dragons coming off an impressive performance. They would have probably stayed up there as well, I'd imagine, the Dragons in camp. So, yeah, it'd be a hard one for Shane Flanagan to get his head around, but I guess. Yeah, they're probably in that phase of development, aren't they? The Dragons into trying to turn themselves into the team that they're going to be. So I guess you're gonna get these occasionally, but just you wouldn't have expected it to be 38 block. That's all.
Well, 10-0 at half time, I thought they did all right, considering like the first try was just they went down short numbers and ran past Hammer. Zach
Yeah.
Lomax contested, but the two inside chases, like there was way too much space, and Bostock did a good job. They went coast to coast, and the Izako one, like Ravalawa not defending that or getting up on his own goal line surprised me. Like you're going to lose that one almost 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, to get to half time at 10-0 there. They were under the pump. Ben Hunt came up with a nice 40-20. They attacked their line a few times and the Dolphins turned them away, but I didn't see the second half turn it into a five try assault like it did. They had a no try early on, and then it just absolutely unfolded. Marshall King sharp out of dummy half. Hammer ends up getting a hat trick. Toa, some really quality touches, engaged the line. His kicking game is really, really good, so he made a difference. And just the extra leg speed. Like Herbie, I thought was busy last week, but he led the energy again and plenty of carries. And Plath looks like a pretty handy player. Playing at 13, he was super busy. Him and Aitken coming in made a difference. And the bench this week. Last week, it wasn't that impactful, but Nico, Flegler's second stint, there was a couple of guys there that certainly brought some more energy.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that was the Dolphins we saw last year, and the Dolphins are expected again. Why I still think they're a bit undermanned in the pack. Wayne Bennett teams usually never lack on the free things and the effort, and that was all back tonight.
Yeah.
And again, across the year, I think there'll be games like last week where they're disappointing, but for the most part, they're just going to fight you over a bone. They're going to be tougher than a $2 steak. And that's why I sort of think they'll be, around that similar record again, especially against teams that you probably think are other bottom eight teams or bottom nine teams. I think they'll probably land that 8 to 10 win mark again. I don't see them playing finals football, but certainly don't expect the performances we saw last week, that's for sure.
No, that's exactly right. That was a shock last week.
Interesting. He dropped Kenny. Like he started off the bench, so he didn't finish the year bad, that good last year, but he was dropped to the 18th man spot tonight.
There you go. Well, I guess there had to be some casualties and accountability out of last
Oh,
week.
there definitely was. But yeah, when I saw that, I thought it's funny because Jesse signed the short-term deal and he basically said in the preseason this might be his last year. Kenny signed the 3-year deal, but yeah, he looked like the back end of last year is struggling a little bit, and to start this year, starts off the bench last week and now he's out of the side. So Wayne, he knows how to send a message. We'll see if there's a response, but
Yeah.
yeah, I think some of those kids. Bostock looks like a good player.
He
He
does,
looks
man. Yeah.
he's physically only going to get bigger. He's another one who only come out SG Ball. I think he's only 20, so he
Yeah.
could be playing flag. But yeah, Plath and a few of those guys really took control. But the big one for me was Katoa. I think watching him off the ball and another year of development, it may be a case again where he dips in and out again this year. But for the path he's had so far and the team he's in, yeah, really interested to watch him play for the next 6 or 8 weeks. I think he'll get a bit of a long stint here to hold on to that jersey.
Yeah, we'd hope so.
Dragons, funnily enough, I know he's the one that everyone's been talking about and there's been talk around him, but Lomax was their best player.
Yeah.
He had 27 touches. He was in everything. Like, I know they're saying he's not happy, but I couldn't question his effort tonight, that's for sure. He played up to the last minute. Sloane had some pretty good moments. Hammer got him twice, though. They had the foot race with a chip kick. Last play of the game, Hammer knocks the ball out of his hands. He had a great game there to make sure they kept him to zero. But I guess just him injecting himself when they were under the pump for 15, 20 minutes at the start of the game there, he was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
I know the flash moments and the speed and everything. He's got that brilliance, but he still has to come in and probably learn a little bit of the value of, helping out in yardage or taking a tough carry every now and then. But yeah, back to the drawing board because you thought off the back of last week, getting Lucci in, getting Laurie back, they certainly would have been feeling pretty good about their chances this week. And they ended up getting the old 12 gauge straight in the face. So, Dolphins, they roll into the bye. Good win. Heading to that, knowing you've got a bit of a rest. So, not bad for them. Can reassess and look at the video. And for the Dragons, what have they got here? They got the Cowboys and they travel back down to next strata. So, a few big ones coming up. Like Newcastle last year was sort of the first loss for Melbourne to start the rot. They had the trial the other week and Melbourne had the stick. But yeah, potentially no Hughes. You got Parra and Manly, who are both looking pretty sharp. Like the Tigers won't want to lose again, but you got Cronulla rolling in. Nakora's going to get 2 weeks minimum. At Leichhardt, so we know how ruthless they can be if they don't get a showing. And then you've got the Bulldogs 0-2 heading to the Titans off a disappointing game. South Rabbitohs, always a classic. Undefeated Raiders heading over to New Zealand, and the grand final rematch kicks things off Thursday night. You've got the Panthers and the Broncos, so another belt around coming up.
Will be a good round, yeah.
Penrith Soul Centre, powerful moment of the week. It's a no-brainer. It's the Xavier Coates finish. It was ridiculous. There was a few things I enjoyed across the weekend, or I had sort of written down prior to that. But as soon as that happened last night, I was like, "Yeah, nothing's top of that.
No,
That's
fair
locked
enough.
in." I was going to give it to Craig Bellamy for his smart little dance after the game that they caught on camera. Did a bit of a truffle shuffle with the old shoulder wiggle going on, and had a bit of a creepy smile. But between that and Coates' dive, they were both quality.
Yeah.
But what about yourself, mate? What's the week look like? You're on Saturday.
Yeah, so I was in today for probably half day. I'll be in all day tomorrow, and then the part-timers tomorrow night. Full day Tuesday with the full-timers, and yeah, Wednesday off, and then Thursday, Friday into Saturday. So yeah, it'll be good week. Good week ahead. NRL's over in New Zealand all week, so I'll sort of be holding down Ford in Canberra, which will be, yeah, it'll be good fun.
Nice. What day are they going? They usually go probably 3 days before or something, don't they?
They've gone, they're going tomorrow.
Oh, okay, so they get the full weekend. That's good. I know
Some people
some
wait,
like
they play Friday, so
oh, well
they
basically like
travel tomorrow, really. They're getting 3 days.
my bad, I was thinking about like it was Saturday, Sunday, but yeah, that is 3 days.
Three-day prep, so
I've mucked that up, so no, of
yeah,
course.
still good to be going a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I think it's certainly one of those trips that you, depending on what you need is, like when you went last year, obviously it was a pretty much a must win and a hard place to go to play. You got the job done, but I don't think it's a place you want to be banking on going to at the back end of the year, that's for sure.
No.
You'd rather get there early and probably play in the first, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And you certainly don't want to be going there during Origin time.
No.
That's not a good time to be going, so that's good. But one last thing for the punters. I know I said it last week, so there's probably not much change. You don't have any TV shows, videos, books, nothing.
No.
Still working your way through Drive to Survive.
Yeah, I got one more episode to go.
What have you thought of it? I actually thought it was a good series. Season.
I haven't really enjoyed it, to be fair.
You haven't?
No.
I sort of got sick of it the last two because it just felt like it was, all about Red Bull and their winning, and that was it. Whereas this time, I thought there was a bit of driver controversy and some team stuff. It actually made it a bit more interesting.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I haven't really enjoyed this year, to be fair.
Also, sad to see Gunther, just a broken man.
Yeah, poor old Gunther.
Yeah, no gig for him. Gonski's.
It's no good for poor old Gunther Steiner.
And it was funny to see how the Hamilton thing played out. Like he was putting the pressure on, and they did an extension, and he basically didn't even see out the, you know, the start of the extension. He had the option. He pretty much canned at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
that'll be interesting.
No good.
But there you go. NRL review knocked over for round two. Some good performances. Couple of bounce backs. Couple of teams that'll be very, very keen to try and get there first after going 0-2. And you've got the Canberra Raiders currently sitting on top with four and against with the Cowboys, the Sharks, the Eagles, and the Storm. We've got five still undefeated, and we've got four winless in the Warriors, the Knights, Souths, and Dogs, who are all playing next week. So big week, round three. No one wants to go 0-3, and there's a couple of those matchups again for those sides that are undefeated that are going to be pretty difficult. So another cracker week ahead. Looking forward to it.
It'll be good.
Good to have you on, Boxhead. All the best for this week from myself and all the punters out there.
Thank you, friend.
Been a lot of positive comments, a lot of people posting up about the results. Someone posted up earlier that Fogarty gave you a rap, I think, on ABC today
Oh, did he?
on the radio. So everyone's behind you, champ.
That's nice of Gemma.
Yeah.
Young Gemma.
Plenty of love, mate. Lots of love, mate. I can't wait for that moment. I hope it comes. I've been hearing about a guy. He's got a big head. Fremantle Shepherd, I think his name is. He won't even know he was on the podcast out many years ago. I think he's lapsed on that.
Oh, who knows, yeah.
Good times. Love the buzz.
Love him.
But there you go. That wraps us up. Review for round two, thanks to Penrith Solar Centre. Get on to Jake and the team there, penrithsolar.com.au, 820 29 30, the airline of Penrith. Let him sort you out. Boxhead, have a good week, my friend, and I'll talk to you
Will
soon.
do. See you, buddy.
And for everybody else, we'll be back on Wednesday. I think I'm supposed to be on shift, so I'll try to link up with Timmy if I can get a chance, but if not, I'll rock a solo. But for now, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.